asked Peter Altshuler what it was like for him as a teenager backstage at the Brooklyn Fox.
It was a mixture of very exciting and very informative, because backstage was not a rowdy party, at least not at my father's shows. He ran a very tight ship. He had a background in entertainment that stretched back through his mother and aunt, who were both in vaudeville. He knew how to put on a show, and he knew that timing was crucial to make sure that people got on and off the stage at the right time, that they came on with the right energy level, that they played the audience in the right way. And it was almost military in its precision backstage, so that while there was a lot of downtime as performers took their breaks between their sessions and everybody else's, and there were often as many as 20 acts on those shows, so they did have a lot of time to kill. For me, just wandering around there and talking to people was a thrill. I mean, these were the people that every other kid I knew only got to hear on the radio, and they'd go off to the record stores and buy their 45s and 33s. I got to go backstage and talk to them, and that was exciting.
Jay Black remembers Murray the K.
Yeah, well, Murray and I go back a long time together, and not only were we close personal friends and, you know, work together, like, for instance, people that can go back to the Brooklyn Fox Theater when the lineups were so sensational. I was just reminiscing with Anthony the other night, Anthony and the Imperials, about who we had on these shows. Murray had the greatest eye for talent, and we had Smokey Robinson, Diana Ross, the Temptations, the Four Tops. Murray can really pick them. I mean, he always knew who was going to make it and who wasn't going to make it. And he had this knack of being able to weasel his way in. I remember when the Beatles first came out, how he used to knock them and put them down, and then he wound up being the fifth Beatle. And no matter what Murray did, there was just some quality about him that you had to love him. And you'd go back to the days of Alan Freed, who was really the man who coined the phrase rock and roll. Alan Freed broke every record, but people don't realize that Murray the K broke all of Alan Freed's records. And I really miss him. I think radio is missing a personality like Murray the K. I don't think there'll ever be another one.
Loud crash and thunder awakened him. He got out of bed and walked over to the window to close out the rain. Except there was no rain. The moon was shining bright, accompanied by a thousand stars. His thoughts of a weather phenomenon were interrupted by the sound of what was coming up the stairs. It didn't sound human. And if it were, what kind of being would make that sound? As it grew louder and came closer, real terror gripped him for the first time in his life. He walked to the night table where he kept his gun, and suddenly the chain stopped. But the door was opening. And as it opened amidst a cacophony of sounds, there in his doorway, illuminated by the unexplained lighting, stood a sight to chill the blood of any man. It was his
mother-in-law.
'64, Murray embraced the Beatles when they came over from England. Peter Altshuler remembers.
This is something that will probably go down forever as an argumentative point. According to my father, he went, and this is factual, he went with the Beatles from New York down to Washington, D.C. on the train for their first U.S. concert. They flew into New York, they stayed at the Plaza, but they played Carnegie Hall second, and they played some venue down in D.C. first. And on the train down there, the Beatles had their own little entourage, and there were security people of all sorts. And walking between the cars, Murray was right behind George Harrison at one point, so the story goes, as I understand it. And somebody tried to stop him, and George turned around and said, "It's all right, he's the fifth Beatle." And apparently that's how it started. Now, there are Beatle aficionados out there who will say that the title rightfully belongs to Brian Epstein, and I don't think that my father would have disagreed with that. But I don't think at the time that he would have foregone, or given up, rather, the title for himself.
Feel the side of Come By Me, love.
You can't do that.
Can't do that.
Well, that's the soul side. Yeah, play that. Play that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that. Play that, George. Hey, you know, you were paid a great compliment. Benny King's guitar player, who is a great guitar player.
There.
He is too much. He said, he's putting out some good stuff, talking about you. So he paid you a good compliment. He's a great
guitar. Believe young fella.
Yeah.
And he plays all. Benny King's guitar is not
good. And his bass player, Paul, is too much.
I'm practicing.
I see.
From WINS to WOR-FM in 1965 to bring free-form rock and roll to FM radio. In the later years, he went to WNBC and hosted a syndicated show called The Soundtrack of the 60s. There was only one, Murray the K. He was a New York original.
Now if you wanna know why, let me explain. Hey,